بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسول الكريم، أما بعد، قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول وأولي الأمر منكم، فإن تنازعتم في شيء فردوه إلى الله ورسول إن كنتم تؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر ذلك خير وأحسن تحويلا. قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام: عليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Alhamdulillah, this is our part 15 concerning wisdom of actions. Alhamdulillah, in part 14 we have discussed about who can make a tafsir of Quran al-Kareem and the qualities of the person who can make tafsir of Quran al-Kareem. And we explained to some detail the 15 qualities that a person has to possess in order to make a tafsir of Quran al-Kareem. We are explaining these so that any individual can make out who is speaking the truth, can make out a truth from falsehood. We have mentioned, alhamdulillah, that in order to derive laws in Islam, we utilize four sources. That means the Quran, the Sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu ta'ala alayhi salatu wasalam, Ijma, and Qiyas, Shari analogy. Now this is as far as the formulation of the law when it comes to masla, masail, rules, regulations, that what you and I have studied in Diniyat, in our simple elementary books of jurisprudence, how these laws were formulated, they actually have come out from the Quran, from the Sunnah, from the Ijma and Qiyas. Either the law has come from the Quran or the Sunnah or Ijma or Qiyas. That is as far as the laws pertaining to regulations, masala, administration, economics. Now, as far as the law pertaining to belief, aqaid, that there are three sources of derivation. One is what we call nusus katiya, meaning clear-cut Quran al-Kareem ayat. There is no ambiguity in that Quran al-Kareem ayat, in the meaning thereof. And the second is hadith mutawatira. Hadith mutawatira means that continuous hadith, or that hadith that from the time Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said it till compilation, it was continuous in nature. And thirdly, Ijma of the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, because obviously they understood the purport, meaning, significance of Quran and Sunnah. Now, the belief structure of Islam, which inshallah we will expound later in some other program and lesson, comes either from Nusus, a Katiya, clear text of Quran, or the Hadith, a Mutawatira, the continuous Hadith, or the Ijma, of Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. Whereas rules and regulations, the daily masala, masail, as far as buying and selling, transaction, dealing, economics, business, salat, ibadat, hajj, zakat, fasting, all this, whether it is ibadat or ma'amalat, ma'kulat, that what is halal to eat, what is haram, all that is coming from Quran, Sunnat, and the ijma and qiyas. The reason why we are teaching this, that every Muslim will be empowered after education, because al-ilmu nurun, ilm is light, and this light will guide us to see what we must do. This light will help us that we must practice on this and leave that out. And this information, this education will help every person. Every person will be able to have a benchmark, a criterion to judge what is right and what is wrong, and that person will be empowered when he reads an article, a thesis, or a proposal. He'll be able to make out that this unfortunate person is trying to present the truth, but in reality is lying, is in falsehood. These days, there is a complaint. Many people say that the ulama ikram are confusing us, molanas are confusing us, muftis are putting us into the doldrums, and the ulama should get their act right. Meanwhile, the fault does not lie with the ulama. The fault lies with those who are not educated sufficiently. When we are educated and empowered, and we know how to assess a matter, and we know how to analyze an article, if there is one group that is saying something, another group is saying something, and another party is saying something, one alim is saying something, one molana is saying something, then how, as a layman, will I be able to discern the truth from the falsehood? How will I know who is saying the truth and who is calling to Shariat, which is pure and pristine, and who is deceiving? If we understand the sources of derivation and we understand something of the Quran and the Sunnah and Ijma and Qiyas, then we will understand how pure the deen of Islam is, and we will also understand how the law actually supposed to formulate. Because we do not know how the law is supposed to come about, that is why, unfortunately, that we are being driven to make decisions from unauthentic sources. We are being driven to make rulings from unreliable sources. We are unfortunately using the wrong sources of derivation and try to formulate a deen and a shariat. That is why you will find a sector that they base their decisions upon Quran alone, which is erroneous. You will find a sector that is trying to base its ruling on Quran and Hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is also erroneous, because in reality we are supposed to be forming our decisions from the Quran, from the Sunnat of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sahaba, and Ijma and Qiyas. If the person says, I'm only looking at the Quran and forming decisions, we will prove in this lesson that that is imperfect and that is not correct, and he's leaving out three sources, the Sunnah, Ijma and Qiyas. If the person says, no, I only use Quran and Hadith, that person is leaving out the Sunnah of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Ijma and Qiyas. That is why you get one group that denies the usage of Ijma as a source of derivation in Sharia. You get a group also that denies, in fact, it ridicules and it mocks and jeers at those who utilize qiyas, that is analogy by shari, rationality. They deny that. And they do not utilize qiyas. As a result, they cannot be from the Ahl Sunnat wal Jamaat, because the Ahl Sunnat wal Jamaat is utilizing four out of four sources, the Quran, the Sunnah of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Sahaba, and Ijma and Qiyas. On the other hand, you will get people who use sentiments and emotions as proof. And remember very clearly that emotions are not proof in Shariat. Sentiments are not a proof in Shariat. And Ilham and Kashf, which I will elucidate in other programs, the definition and the ruling of inspiration to people, pious or non-pious even, that is not a proof in Shariat. And you get some people, because they can speak eloquently, does not mean they are correct. Correct is, valid is, reliable is Quran, Sunnah, Ijma and Qiyas. Emotive speaking and turning the crowds and relying on sentiments is no proof in Shariat. These days you get people say, by the Rabb of the Kaaba, what I'm telling you, you have to believe it. The Rabb of the Kaaba is no proof. By saying Rabb of the Kaaba, you have to prove from Quran and Sunnah and Ijma and Qiyas. There are people who say, no, my Shaykh, he was in the haram and he had inspiration that so-and-so is right and so-and-so is wrong. That is no proof in Shariat. Shariat proof is Quran, Sunnat, Ijma and Qiyas. What pious people, their speech or their action, if you go to my website alislam.co.za, you'll find an article about the action and the speech of pious personalities does not constitute formulation of law. It does not constitute a law per se. So alhamdulillah, in the previous lessons we have discussed to some great extent the Quran and who can make tafsir of Quran al-Kareem. Now, in our lesson today, that we discuss the sources of tafsir. The source of tafsir refers to those means and resources whereby the tafsir of any ayat is understood. Remember, there are ayats in Quran al-Kareem, we have to understand them. But how we have to understand them? There have to be certain sources. And once we understand these sources, then we can know the true meaning of those ayats. Remember, there are two simple basic types of Quranic ayats. One type of ayat, those that are clear, easy to understand, and you can understand its meaning and purport if you understand the Arabic language. But together with this, one needs to have a sound and rational intellect. Besides the Arabic language, remember, the heart has to be clean and pure. And in Islam, Allah Ta'ala states in Quran al-Kareem that the power of communication, power of comprehension, power of understanding is done by the heart and not by the brain, as we have all been taught. So the heart has to be pure, shining like a mirror, clear, pure, and righteous, pure, purged, cleansed from all filth and evil. The heart has to be free from the osaf and razila, from bad, from evil, from hatred, from malice, from jealousy. The heart has to have osaf and hamida, good qualities, which are free from pride, humility, meekness, simplicity, piety, taqwa, righteousness, then that heart will be able to make a correct decision, a decision. Otherwise, this heart here is not going to do, not going to make a proper and valid decision. The second type of ayat are those whose meaning is not understood by mere knowledge of the Arabic language. So you have to have some sources, some tools to understand this ayat. And what are the tools according to the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat? They are very simple. There are four tools. That means the Quran itself, number one. Second, the Ahadith, the Sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thirdly, the statements of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. And fourthly, the statements of the Tabi'een rahmatullah alayhim. Now, these four sources will help and aid a person to understand the ayat of Quran al-Kareem. These days, people who first of all don't understand Arabic, people do not understand Quran, don't have a knowledge of ahadith, don't have knowledge of the statements of Sahaba and Tabi'in, they begin to say whatever they want to say concerning Quran, which is completely erroneous. The first source is Quran. It explains Quran itself. That is at times that ayat makes tafsir, explanation of other ayats. Now, we have one ayat which is not clear, or which is concise, which is precise, or which is ambiguous. But Allah Ta'ala, in Quran al-Kareem itself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will expound that Quran al-Kareem ayat. Example we will give, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran al-Kareem, in Surah Fatiha, Allah says, guide us on the straight path, the path of those whom you have favored. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we make this dua, that اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم. We make this dua that Ya Allah guide us on the straight صراط المستقيم, and then the path of those whom you have favored. Now in this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he does not identify those who have been favored. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not clarify it. Allah does not expound on it. But in another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he explains this ayat, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expounds it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elucidates it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly states in another place in Quran al-Kareem, مَنْ يُطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِي أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا. See, in Surah Fatiha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just mentioned who are those who have been favored. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he explains mun'im alayhim, upon whom the favors have been done. Alayhim min al-nabiyin, the Anbiya alayhi salam, was Siddiqeen, the truthful ones, and Shuhada, the martyrs, was Salihin, and the pious. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is displaying, explaining to us that, see, in one ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concise and precise, and in another ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is expounding it. And is explaining in detail to us that these are the favored ones. See, it is stated in one ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Adam learned from his Rabb some words, thus Allah forgave him. Now, these words, actual words, are not mentioned, but they are mentioned in another ayat. Other ayat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the two of them, Hazrat Adam alayhi salam and Hawa radiallahu ta'ala anha, said, O my Rabb, O our Rabb, we have wronged our souls. And if you do not forgive us and shower your mercy upon us, then we will surely be amongst the losers. See, in one ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he concisely mentions the words, but the actual words are not elucidated. Actual words are mentioned somewhere else where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned those words. In another ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, oh, you believe, fear Allah, and be amongst the truthful ones. Ya ayyuhallazina amanu ittaqullah, and you must be ma'as-sadiqeen, kunu ma'as-sadiqeen. But in this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not expound, does not explain who are the sadiqeen. He does not, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not explain that in detail who are the pious ones, who are the truthful ones at least. But in another ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in detail in Surah Baqarah, ayat 177, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he expounds the various qualities of the sadiqeen, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, goodness, piety is not that you turn your faces towards the east or the west. However, pious are those who believe in Allah, the last day, the malaika, the kitab, and the anbiya. They give from their wealth out of love for him to their kith, to their poor, the needy, the travelers, the beggars, and the captives. They establish salat, give zakat, and they fulfill their pledges when they make a pledge. They are patient in difficult and constrained conditions and at the time of battle. They are the ones who are truthful. They are the ones who are patient, pious. See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in one ayat, Allah says that, O you who believe, O you who are obedient, that first of all, fear Allah. And secondly, be amongst the truthful ones. Allah is ordering us, be amongst the truthful ones. But who are the truthful ones? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in another ayat in Surah Baqarah, he elucidates and he lists the qualities of the truthful ones. Also, if we want to be amongst the truthful ones, then these are the qualities in an individual we have to look for. Who are they? They believe in Allah. Number two, they believe in the last day. Number three, they believe in the malaika. Number four, they believe in the kitab. And number five, they believe in the anbiya. Number six, they give their wealth to the kin, the poor, the needy, the travelers and the beggars and the captive. Further qualities are, they establish salat, they give zakat, and they fulfill their pledges when they make a pledge. And they are patient. In three situations, they are patient. When in difficulty, they are patient. When they are under constrained conditions, they are patient. And at the time of battle, they are patient. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, these are the truthful ones. Point here is, see, Allah is explaining one ayat by another ayat. Further, another example of tafsir of Quran by Quran is where there is a ambiguity in one qiraat, type of dialect, and this is clarified in another qiraat. Now, some dialects recite the ayat "Faghsilu wujuhakum" until Qabain. Here there is a possibility of translating the last part as making masa on the head and feet. But this uncertainty is clarified by the dialect of Imam Hafs, Rahmatullah alayh. which reads, "Wa arjulakum." Here there is only one possibility of translating, and that is the feet must be washed. In this case, the second dialect has confirmed the meaning of the former one to mean that the feet must be washed and not made masah upon. Here you can see one dialect in the ayat is being elucidated by another ayat. So alhamdulillah, in these four examples, clearly it has been expounded that one source of understanding Quran is by the Quran itself. Ayat explains ayat. Allah in the Quran explains one ayat by another ayat. The second source is the Sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran al-Kareem, "And we have revealed to you the zikr, the Quran al-Kareem, so that you may explain to the people that which has been revealed to you." Now the teaching of Quran al-Kareem, it comprises of aqaid, belief, dealings, jinayat, penalties, hudud, punishment, qisas, retribution, and about sir al-ghazawat, expeditions and battles. It teaches, Quran al-Kareem teaches pious actions, excellent character, planning, administration of home and government. Now all these details and aspects and chapters of life are there, but they are there not in detail. So it is part and parcel of the duty and responsibility of the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala to clarify it and to teach it. Quran al-Kareem, alhamdulillah, had come to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and expounded by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore this ayat in Surah Al-Nahl refutes also those people who say that no, Quran is sufficient. This ayat is clearly stating that part of the responsibility and duty and function of the Nabi is to teach the Ummah and to explain to the Ummah about aqaid and dealings and penalties and punishment and retributions, and to teach about planning and character and personality. The Kitab, Quran al-Kareem, has not come alone, but the Sahib al-Kitab, the Rijal of the Kitab, and in the forefront is Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to explain to us what is in the Kitab and what is the purport of the Kitab. Because who better than Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam can understand Quran al-Kareem, explain Quran al-Kareem. For example, we get the injunction of Salah, wa aqimu salah wa atu zakah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that establish Salat and give the Zakah. Now if you take all the ayats of Salat in Quran al-Kareem and put it together, you will not be able to perform one rakat of Salat. Why? Because there is the need of the Sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam for us to perform one rakat of Salat. Because the Quran is there in principle, in fundamental rules, not in details. The Quran does not stand alone, it stands with the Sunnah to be expounded. In fact, concerning the one rakat of the Salah, we can prove that from the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat, we require all four sources in order for us to make only one rakat of Salat. And this will refute any person who says Quran is sufficient. Because the Quran is not sufficient, we cannot just look at Quran and perform one rakat of Salat. And we have to look at the Sunnah and Ijma and Qiyas in order for us to perform only one rakat of Salat. In one rakat of Salah, the proof of the Ahl Sunnat wal Jamaat is there. Because part of the one rakat of Salah would come from Quran, some will come from Sunnah, some will come from the Ijma, some will come from Qiyas. And it will allow us to perform one complete rakat of Salat. If a person, and we get these people these days, they say, look, Quran and Bukhari is enough, Quran and Muslim is enough, Quran and Hadith is enough. We cannot perform one rakat of Salat from Quran and Hadith alone. We require the Quran, the Sunnah, and the Sunnah encompasses the Hadith and Ijma and Qiyas to perform one rakat. That is why the sources of derivation have to be fully understood, that how the laws are formulated in Islam. Now when we learn the laws, how they are formulated, then inshallah no one can fool us or connive against us or deceive us. So alhamdulillah that we see Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam been instructed in Quran al-Kareem, do not move your tongue concerning it, memorizing the Quran, to make haste therewith. Indeed, it is upon us to collect it and give you the ability to recite it. And when we have recited it to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through Jibreel alayhi wa sallam, then follow you its recital. Then it is for us, Allah, to make it clear. In this blessed ayat, Allah takes the responsibility of explaining upon and expounding the Quran al-Kareem. And we realize that this will be done from the Sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the Hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it will fall under the category of ghair kitabi. It will fall under the category which we have previously explained about, and it will fall under the category that it is not classified as wahiya matlu, but wahiya ghair matlu. Now, besides this, we should understand clearly that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the responsibility and taken the responsibility of explaining the ayat of Quran al-Kareem upon the shoulders of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed Allah has blessed the believers when He sent amongst them a Rasul from amongst themselves to recite upon them the verses and purify them and teach them the Kitab and wisdom, even though they were in plain deviation before. Now it is clear that whatever Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught of the Quran, it is safeguarded in the Hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hafiz ibn Barr states in his kitab, it has been reported from a great Sahabi, Hazrat Imran bin Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that a person came and asked him regarding something. He narrated a hadith to him. The man said, tell us from the kitab of Allah and not from any other. Hazrat Imran bin Hussein told him, you are an ignorant person. Where have you seen in the Quran Majid that the Qiraat in four rakats of Zuhur must be read silently? He then went on to explain to him the ruling regarding Salat and Zakat and asked him if he found any of this in detail in the Quran Majid. The Quran lists them in brevity, whereas the Sunnah makes tafsir thereof. Here we must understand very clearly that, understand what this great Sahabi is saying, that Hazrat Imran bin Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that when the person told him, no, only quote from Quran And this also further negates those people who say Quran is sufficient for us. They are fooling themselves and misleading others. Because Hazrat Imran said that's an ignorant person who says only we have to look at Quran. And he gave a simple proof that where have you seen in Quran that the qiraat in the four rakats of Zuhur must be read silently, loudly. In fact, when we look at all this and we look at the further statements, then we will realize that the Sharia comprises of the Quran and the Sunnah, that is the way of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ijma and Qiyas. And in fact, when we look at the Salah and the details of it, then we cannot only rely on Quran Kareem. In fact, the Hadith even does not propound to us or explain to us whether Zuhur has to be loud, audible or inaudible. To such an extent that there is a narration whereby we get that Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he was reading the Asr Salat and Sahaba were able to hear it. Now, ulama ikram write about this, that Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam read the Asr in an audible manner, ta'liman, to educate Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, that what surahs he was reading there. Because we all know that in every salah, we know that these surahs or the length of the surahs are masnoon. Now, how did we learn this? Even in Asr, Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam read it aloud so that Sahaba will understand and will come to know what has to be read aloud, meaning audible. In fact, nowhere in the Hadith we will find that the Zuhr and the Asr has to be done inaudibly and the Fajr and the Isha and Maghrib audibly. But we have to rely on the Sunnat of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that Sunnat which has not been recorded in the Hadith tells us that the Zuhr and the Asr will be inaudible, silent, whereas the Fajr and the Maghrib and Isha will be audible. That is why I am saying clearly that for one rakat of performance, that let alone the Quran, but we have to use the Quran and the Sunnah and the Ijma and the Qiyas to formulate how to do it. Because this deen is all comprehensive. Once we talk of Quran and Sunnah, automatically we are talking about the jurisprudence, the fiqh. Because from the Quran and the Sunnah, which encompasses the Hadith, the Mujtahid, Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Alayhi, Imam Idris Shafi Rahmatullah Alayhi, Imam Malik Rahmatullah Alayhi, Imam Hanbal Rahmatullah Alayhi, they, because of their piety and foresight and insight and wisdom and knowledge, were able to extract and derive laws so that we today are comfortably able to make our Salat how our Salat supposed to be made. Because without their input, and which has now translated into the formulation and derivation of fiqh, we cannot function. So the whole thrust is that the Quran is not sufficient, but we will have to utilize the Quran, the Sunnah, Ijma and Qiyas. And here we can see clearly that the Sahabi is directing us that we have to use the Quran and the Sunnah in order to formulate the law. So alhamdulillah, we can understand clearly that all of this rests upon understanding the importance of the Quran and the Sunnah of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Khatib Baghdadi Rahmatullah Alayhi mentions, a person came to Hazrat Imran bin Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu and told him, what are these ahadith which you narrate to us whilst you omit the Quran Majeed? Hazrat Imran radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, if you and your companion do not accept besides the Quran, that means if you don't accept the Sunnah, the Hadith, then how will you know how many rakats there are in Zohr? And how many rakats in Asr? Or what their times of performance are? Or how many rakats in Maghrib? Or the duration of stay in Arafat? Or the method of stoning the Jamarat? How will you know where to cut the hand for the thief? From here or there? And he placed his hands at the center of his palms and at the wrist. He said further, those ahadith which we relate to you, you should follow them. Otherwise, I take an oath on Allah's name, you will go astray. This is very clear, explaining to us that we have to rely upon the Sunnah of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because the Sunnah of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is going to explain to us in detail all the minute explanations, when to go to Arafat, when to go to Mina, the wukuf in Arafat, when it starts, when it ends, the wukuf in Muzdalifah, when it starts, when it ends, the mabit in Muzdalifah, how to do it, how many pebbles to pick up, and the combination of Maghrib and Isha in Muzdalifah, how to do it, combination of Zohr Asr in the Arafat, when to do it, how to do it, why to do it, and also stoning of the Jamarats, when to do it, which days to do what. And all this, if we leave out the Sunnah, how we are going to understand it? And all the minute details, in fact, Imam Suyuti Rahmatullah Alayhi, when he narrates this incident, then Hazrat Imran bin Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrated the ayat, because he said, did you not hear the ayat, وَمَا أَعْتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُزُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ أَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. Hazrat Imran bin Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he immediately recited this ayat to substantiate that which the Rasul brings to you, take it, and abstain from that which he prohibits you from. He then said, we have learned those things from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam which you have no knowledge of. We have to understand this link of deen, this transmission of deen. This deen did not fall upon our laps from nowhere. This is the beauty of Islam. And this is the perfection of Islam. And this is the speciality of Islam. That everything in Islam, the Salat, the Hajj, the Zakat, the Umrah, everything we can substantiate, we can trace it back to the Quran and the way of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There is no religion on the surface of the earth that has got this transmission of ibadat in so much detail as Quran, as Muslims. Because there is no other deen on the surface of the earth that is documented and researched and transmitted without fail or flaw than Islam. We should be very proud of that. That we have to make so many rakats in Fajr, or so many rakats in Asr, and so many rakats in Maghrib. How we will know how many sunnats to make before Fajr, before Zohr and after Zohr, before Asr, before Isha and after Isha, after Maghrib. How we will know that how many rakats in Tahajjud and Chast and how many rakats in Awabin? How we will know to make these various Nawafil Salat? If we do not resort to the hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we will not be able to know these things. And then how we will know in Arafat what to do, when to do, how to do, which jamarat to stone, which day? How we know that we have to stone the first jamarat in the first day? How we know that we have to stone on the second day the three jamarats? How we will know that the second day we have to stone the small, then the middle, then the big? How we know that after the small and the middle we have to make dua, and after the big we don't make dua? Where we will find all this information? Where we will find the information that we'll have to combine the Maghrib and the Isha in Muzdalifah? Where we will find the information that we have to combine the Asr, Zohr and Asr in Arafat when we are in Masjid al-Namira? How do we know the sequence of Hajj? Who will explain to us all the details about Zakat? How much must we give? And how should we distribute it? When we should distribute it? How we can calculate it? And upon the sheep and the cattle and the goats and the camel and the buffalo, how we are going to know? Because the Quran al-Kareem does not speak of the 2.5% also, let alone the finer details about the zakat on the animals and the cattle. How we know what breaks the fast and does not break the fast? Yes, basic, concise, precise principles are stated about fasting, about Hajj, about Zakat, about Salat in the Quran Kareem. But the details are not mentioned there. The details are mentioned in the Hadith and Sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that is why the Sahaba were explaining the essentiality of Quran first of all and the Sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Suyuti Rahmatullah Alayh has also narrated this incident, and he has added this portion. Hazrat Imran bin Hussein said, "Do you not hear the ayat? That which Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam brings to you, take it, and abstain from that which he prohibits you from." He then said, "We have learned those things from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam which you have no knowledge of." See, Quran al-Kareem has mentioned this. And again, this ayat also, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that whatever Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives, take it. And whatever Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked you to abstain from, abstain from. Now, if a person says that, "Oh no, Quran is sufficient for me," how is he going to act upon this ayat? Because how he will know what Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam wants from him, and how he will know what Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam has prohibited, unless we resort to the hadith and sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Imam Baihaqi rahmatullah alayhi states, a person said to Mutarraf bin Abdullah Shakir rahmatullah alayhi, a great tabi'i, "Do not narrate to us except from the Quran Majid." He replied, "Our aim is not to derive any recompense from the Quran. In fact, our aim is to acquire and learn from the beauty of Quran, from such a personality who is more well versed in the Quran Majid, that is Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam." This we have to no, and it is part and parcel of our belief that Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upon whom Quran al-Kareem was revealed, he understands Quran al-Kareem the most. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam He is the most knowledgeable as far as how to get the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and also what those Quran e Kareem ayats means. Because Quran has been sent to him and he has been appointed, nominated, chosen to teach, to explain the ayats of Quran e Kareem. So without him, how can we understand Quran e Kareem? We have to know that he is the one going to teach, and who can be better than Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Who can be more superior in understanding Quran than Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Who can be more knowledgeable than Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in understanding Quran e Kareem? So if a person does not use Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that person is definitely misled. And that person definitely will not be on the right path. Now, Alhamdulillah, we know fully well that we have to utilize, first of all, Quran al-Kareem to understand Quran al-Kareem. And secondly, we have to use the Sunnah and Hadith of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to understand Quran al-Kareem. The third source to understand Quran al-Kareem are the statements of the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum were the direct means of teaching and propagating the lessons and tafsir of Quran al-Kareem from Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the teacher of Sahaba. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he is the spiritual mentor of Quran al-Kareem. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the one receiving the wahi, is explaining the Quran al-Kareem to Sahaba Ikram, who are the students and disciples of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Some of them dedicated their entire lives in teaching and imparting the Quran al-Majeed, both in theory and practice. Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in were personalities whose mother tongue was Arabic, and they also well aware of the context in which the various ayats were revealed. Yet they found it necessary to learn the Quran and its tafsir. See, Sahaba Ikram, obviously, they were speaking Arabic. They understood the language, and they were there when Quran al-Kareem was revealed. So they understood circumstances, shan and nuzul of Quran al-Kareem. But notwithstanding this, that they were experts in the Arabic language, and plus they had an advantage, they knew when Quran al-Kareem was being revealed, still they felt the need and necessity of studying from Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, by Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They knew they had to have Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to teach them the meaning of the ayats. That is why in every hadith kitab, if you pick up Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawud, every Tirmizi, etc., you will find that Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explaining Quran al-Kareem. You will find a section on the tafsir of Quran al-Kareem where Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, they asked Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the ayats of Quran al-Kareem, and Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained it. These days there is a group of modernists who think they are very clever and very got high intellect. They think and they make open statements like this. And they, unfortunately, are classified scholars of Islam and thinkers in Islam. And they write and they say things like, if there is a professor in a university or a college who understands and he teaches Arabic, that is sufficient quality for him to understand Quran al-Kareem. What I am saying, we can show you in text. There are people who have been classified scholars in Islam who made such ludicrous statements and preposterous statements like Arabic is sufficient. If a person understood Arabic, then that is sufficient. He can make tafsir of Quran, he can understand Quran, and he doesn't require any tutor, he doesn't require to follow any syllabus. Only one and one condition to understand Quran, and that is the Arabic language, which we have explained in our part 14, that there are so many preconditions attached for a person to understand Quran Karim. Otherwise, that person will never be able to understand the Quran. He never understands the message of Quran Karim. And we are discussing at the moment the third source for one person to understand Quran Karim. The famous Tabi Imam Abu Abdul Rahman Salami Rahmatullah Alayhi states, "We are taught by those personalities who used to recite the Quran Majid, like Usman bin Affan, Abdullah bin Masud, radiallahu ta'ala anhuma." And they were such personalities who were taught by Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who not learn more than 10 ayats at a time, until they mastered whatever it contained in knowledge and practice. This statement of this Sahabi, of this Tabi'i, should be considered, because what he is saying, that they were taught by who? None other than Hazrat Usman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And then, who are these people? They were taught by Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And these people, Hazrat Usman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that they could only learn 10 ayats at a time. And they mastered it. And then they mastered its knowledge and practice. These days, you will find people trying to make tafsir of 30 ayats, 40 ayats at a time. Here we also learn something, that when tafsir of Quran Karim is being done, whether it is in the radio, over the radio, or in the masjid, then not more than 10 ayats should be discussed at a time. In fact, few ayats in this time, in our age, should be discussed. For this reason, it is reported in Musnad Ahmad, which is a hadith kitab, from Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when any person used to recite Surah Baqarah and Al-Imran, then he would be exalted in our eyes. Meaning, if a person, when he read Surah Baqarah and Surah Al-Imran, it was understood that that person understood the meaning of it. It is reported in Muwatta Imam Malik that Ibn Umar learned Surah Baqarah in 8 years. What he mean by learned Surah Baqarah in 8 years? Meaning he learned the tafsir of it, he learned the meaning, significant purport of it. And these days you get people, after reading just Quran Karim once, they think they understood the whole of Quran Karim. It is stated that these 8 years were not merely to memorize the surah, because his memory was not deficient or weak. Together with memorizing, he learned its tafsir and details of each and every syllable. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu ta'ala anhu states, "I take an oath on that being besides whom there is none other worthy of worship. There is not a single ayat in the Quran which was revealed, regarding which I am not unaware of the text and place of its revelation. If I knew anything, anyone who knew more of Quran than I, and it was possible for me to reach him by conveyance, then I would most certainly go to him." Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu ta'ala is clearly stating here that every ayat of Quran, he knew the context and place of his revelation. And we all know that Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for him, for his knowledge and his piety. And also that the jurisprudic fiqh of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi goes up and linked to Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Alhamdulillah, in this session we have covered the sources of derivation if you have to make tafsir, that is Quran by Quran, Sunnah to explain Quran, and thirdly the statement of Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajmain to understand Quran Karim. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.